Welcome to Authenticated, the podcast with Meredith.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Healing Meal. Welcome to Authenticated, guys, who are on the podcast. I'm just going to record the Healing Meal, which I'm live on my Facebook if for the future. There's a Healing Meal live in the future where it's a video, and this is an audio here on Authenticated. So, hello, everybody. We are going to look at a couple of things. We're going to open up first in Genesis 18. Because, you know, and I'm going to list here just a few people in the Bible that God was pleased with. So it says in Genesis 18, it says this. It says, Sarah said, I love this bit because God's talking to Abraham. He says, I'm going to get Sarah pregnant and give you a child. And then Sarah laughed. And then God says to Sarah, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. And he said, yes, you did laugh. That's God to Sarah. And then it says in the next verse that Sarah was afraid, so she lied to the Lord. So she lied because she was scared. And what we see right throughout the Bible, we're going to read here in Genesis 18, it talks about that Abraham's gone to God and he's like, you know, you're going to, you know how we understand that God's never going to destroy the earth again? Well, he says, if I find one a righteous man in the area, I won't destroy that area. That's what he says. If there's one righteous man, he won't destroy the city. Because, and you see it, they become a city, they become a light, a city on a hill, they become the covering of the city. Or more importantly, it also because when people are sick and tired of being sick and tired, they go looking for a solution. Usually they go to God. They end up in the church or they go somewhere like that looking for an answer. And when the earth is, we look at Noah. He was the righteous man in the time. And he obeyed God, which means he listened, right? When obedience with Abraham, they said that Abraham believed God. And then that was accredited to him as faith. And righteousness, right? His faith in believing God. So when you believe God, that means you've got faith. You believe God. Jesus, when he came, he said, blessed are you because you believe and you haven't even seen. So you're going to be even more blessed when you see, you know? Blessed are you because you believe without seeing. Wait until you see. Then you're going to be like, woo! This is like the best. So back in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, we see that Abraham believed God and that was faith. And God, only faith pleases God. So he had faith and then God was pleased with him and then it's accredited to him as being right because you believe God. And so Genesis 18, it goes on, it says that singled out this family, it says. There's a translation there. It says in the New Living Translation, it says, I've singled out him, Abraham, so that he will direct his sons and his families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. And I'll do for Abraham all that I promise. And you see it with Noah. Noah built the ark. All of that Noah's ark is, it happened, but it's also a symbol to us today. The ark is called the Ark of the Covenant, which means to carry the presence of God, which is the anointing. Right? So that's how we see it in the new covenant. We see, so, and Noah was a righteous man. So a righteous man, where it says in 1 Peter 3 that the prayers of a righteous person are effective. Why? Because he's right and upstanding. He believes God. He believes who God is. And so he prays a prayer to God and God hears the prayer because he believes God. That's it, right? So when people are praying, they don't believe God is who he is. They're praying to all different gods. The prayers aren't getting answered. But the righteous believe God. They believe God. They believe Jesus is the Lord, but prior to that, they believed in the angel Lord, Yahweh, right? They believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel. Israel means sons of God, a child of God. That's what Israel means. And so that's why the word's used. So the ark, Noah, he built an ark, so that's the other thing. To build an ark, which means to build the presence of God in the people, or to build the people up so they can carry the presence of God, so they can be a righteous person, so they can have the presence. Because when you have the presence, you have this access to God. You're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. You see it all in the Bible. They're carrying the ark, which means it's the holy place that no one could touch it, only the priest could touch it. Well, now we have a new covenant, we've got a better covenant where we can have the presence inside of us, right? Because back then in the old covenant, there was like one right, we were looking for righteous men. God was looking for a righteous man who believed him. And Satan deceived so effectively that people were always deceived and they'll break the law. They wouldn't do things the right way. And God's presence can't sit on somebody who is in sin. So it was hard for there to be a righteous man in Israel, right? It was like, find me one righteous man in Israel. So he's carrying this ark, Noah, he's building the ark, which is a symbol of what we're doing. We're building the ark, or we're building you to be an ark. You know, the fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors, they're building you up. They're called by God, anointed by God, first made righteous. They're built up to become an ark of the covenant, to carry the presence of God, to build up the people of God, to also be a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is to carry the ark of the covenant, to carry the presence of God. So then their prayers are effective. So when they can hear God, and God can tell them what to do, and they know what to do, there's no confusion. They know what's right, what's wrong. You know what I mean? So that's why the fivefold accord, to build up and equip the body of Christ, to equip you to be filled with the presence of God, to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the presence of God. It's too hot. I have to have my hair up. So, and then he says, God says to him, for I've chosen him. Of fire. So, for I've chosen him that he may command the children and his household. So, he chose Abraham. So, that's another thing. So, he chose Abraham to, because Abraham obeyed him. He believed him and then he commanded his household. So, that, you know, you see it through the Bible, we have to direct our children. Okay, so God directs his children. When you make God your father by believing him, then you become his child, and then he raises up sons, which are sons and daughters. The curious mature, he matures them into sonship, so they carry the sonship, which is the anointing of the Son, Jesus. So then they operate in the same anointing, which makes them a son, and then they cover, they do, as an elder child, they go for all of God's kids. So they're carrying the presence of God, they're praying on behalf of the kids who are rebellious and they're wayward, the prodigal son, the kids aren't listening, they're doing all this kind of stuff. And the mature are kept, like God keeps them in his strictness by his anointing so that they can continue to hear, because if you can't hear God, you can't pray. Because God, you're not hearing God back. Right, so he keeps them righteous, the fivefold. So there's a people that will always be able to equip and pray on your behalf, so that way you can come into the presence of God and hear what you're meant to do. Because without God speaking to you directly, you're not quite sure what it is you're meant to do or not to do. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? So you got the sons that are praying for all God's children. Anyone that believes in Jesus is God's kid. If you believe in Jesus, everything else might be wayward and rebellious, but you're God's kid and he loves them all. So when he sees the prodigal coming home, he's like, you know, let's put on a party and bless them. And that's what he does. So Jairus blesses the socks off them and then brings them into maturity a few years later, once he, you know, gives them everything that they want. He's like, here you go, you have all this. And then after, he's like, okay, now it's time to grow up. You know what I mean? But now it's time to grow up and become a mature one. Like, they had to become mature in order to get you in, to mature you, to bring you into the kingdom so you can stop getting beaten up by the devil, right? Keep getting set up by the devil. Hey, do this, hey, do that. Next minute, find yourself in all sorts of trouble because the devil set you up because he never wants you to come into your inheritance. So he chose Abraham, right? And it says there that the righteous is, back then the word righteous is called tzedakah, which is to keep the tithe, which means, the tithe means to give all of yourself to God. We hear the tithe now means to give your first 10% of everything to God. So back then they give their all to God and they're innocent and blameless before the Lord, right? They're innocent and blameless. So there's no guilt, no condemnation. They don't feel like they're a bad person. Their consciences are clean. Are clear. And then so we look in the Bible, just think about all these people that were obedient in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, which was hard to do because they didn't have the Holy Spirit, right? So we got a better covenant. We got the Holy Spirit. We got a helper. Thank God, because God knew by the end times what it's going to be like. You know what I mean? Hello, Nikki. By the end times what it's going to be like, and we're going to need a helper. And that's why we got the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit back then. We didn't have Jesus. See, Jesus came. He fulfilled. It said he fulfilled the law. We're going to read about it. He fulfilled it. What did he fulfill? The old covenant, right? So then there's always one righteous person in the earth so the earth doesn't get destroyed. That person's Jesus, and also now his Spirit, Holy Spirit's on the earth, right? There will always be one righteous person on the earth because he fulfilled it. It's him. That's why he's the righteous one. But now he's here by his Spirit. Back in the old covenant, it was other people. We've got Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Ezekiel, Job, Zephaniah, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Isaiah, Amos, Habakkuk, Solomon, Ezekiel, just to name a few. So we had all of these people in that, David, obviously, right? And so you've got all of these people in the old covenant who were God, they were found righteous because they believed God. That's what made them righteous. They believed God. And then they did what he said, right? Abraham raised his children up to be, you know, good descendants of the Lord and to believe in the Lord. And David believed God because he believed that he was anointed, believed that he was going to be a king, and he did what God told him to do for the kingdom. Moses led the people out of Israel. Moses didn't want to go out of Israel. He was a Hebrew. He was born into the Hebrew. He was born a Hebrew. And then they put him in the basket and send him over to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians found him and they kept him, and he was raised as an Egyptian, right? And then later it was revealed that he was actually Hebrew, so he was actually got the seed line or the royal line or the generational line to be of Jesus's lineage. So then Jesus picked him, he chose him, which it says there in Genesis, I singled them out. God singles these people out. Those who believe, who are righteous, who will do what he says. Those who will obey. That's what he wants. Obedience. It says obedience is better than sacrifice. Most people sacrifice. They give everything. You see, I've seen it for many years, where people, they are very poor. They've got nothing. But their hearts are so good, and they give, but they've got nothing for their lives. A lot of people I grew up with, you know, they got nothing because they sacrifice, but there's no obedience to the Lord. And God doesn't even, type of sacrifice isn't considered righteous. Only obedience is. So you have to give to the right things, and we need to learn this stuff. And it's not taught. It's all been taken out. So all you see is, you know, them dancing on the stage dressed as the devil, covering their eyes and doing Illuminati hand signals, and everybody's getting messed up and confused down here because there's no proper teaching anymore. And people will get sick of it. They will get sick of it because it's not fulfilling. So they're going to be looking for this very soon. People are looking for this, people that wouldn't normally. They're going to be looking for real teaching. They go to the churches, they're not interested in the entertainment anymore. It's got to be a real conversion, where they meet Jesus face to face and Jesus says, hello, I'm actually real. And they're like, wow, that's all I ever wanted, just for you to tell me face to face I'm real and for me to see you with my own eyes. Then I'll do whatever you tell me to do because I believe it. But there's so much confusion and disobedience and all that evil down here and wickedness and deception that people aren't sure if he's real or not, because religion has taken it and made a profit from him as well, you know what I mean? But all religion, not just Christian, Catholic, all religion has done the same thing. So everyone's trying their best, but this deception gets in, you know? But a righteous man falls seven times and he gets back up seven times, it says. So righteous keep standing because he rebuilds them. So we've got all these people who believed God. Genesis 18:23 talks about it. Abraham obeyed God's commands unquestionably. Okay, so that's it. He didn't question God, he just obeyed, even though he was going to look stupid. Same as he was going to look stupid because he believed God, and he came and he was like 90 years old. And the Lord came to him, which is Jesus in the old covenant, as the angel of the Lord. Didn't come manifest himself as Jesus yet. He was only an angel. And he said to them, you're going to have a child. And he's like 90. And Sarah was like 70 or something. So then it says Abraham was ready to follow God's orders. Yeah, so Abraham became ready. Sorry, there's a truck. I was hearing a second. It's not been getting done a second time. Abraham was ready to follow God's orders to sacrifice Isaac, right? That was another thing. So Abraham, that was the other part of Abraham's obedience. And I love that because he's saying, God said to Abraham, sacrifice your son Isaac. on the altar, and Abraham went to do it. Well, I love how it says in there that he was ready to follow God's orders to sacrifice Isaac. So even though he didn't understand it, and even though he didn't have to go through with it because God provided a lamb, a ram, in the end, he was ready to do it no matter what it cost him. So it was the readiness, which means you're prepared to do whatever God asks you to do, even if you don't want to do it. Of course, you don't want to sacrifice your first son. Well, Isaac in the Bible means to laugh, right? That's what it means. It means he laughs or makes sport of, right? Or mocking and play. So there's a few things there that can mean, which means Isaac can mean like God's, that can mean that God's saying to Abraham, everything that's mocking God, bring it to the altar as a sacrifice. Because a sacrifice there means a burnt offering, right? So it talks about this. Genesis 22:2 says, and he said, take your only son Isaac, only means solitary, or only means unique, priceless, possession, can't recover or can't be replaced. It comes from the word yakad, and it means to be united, right? Unite my heart, become one, and join. So the word only means to become one with, or unite my heart. So uniting, think, you've got to think bigger picture. Uniting my heart. Jesus come to, he's my only son. He's saying to Abraham, sacrifice your only son, your beloved son. He's like, I sacrifice my beloved son, Jesus, to unite my heart back to the people, to give them my heart so they can hear my heartbeat and they know what I want and what they need, what I want for them. What I want for them as a father wants for their child. And he said, take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land. Land means territory. Right, so go to the territory of Moriah, or M-O-R-I-A-H. And that actually means the Lord is my teacher, that word. Moriah, go to the land of Moriah. So it goes to, go, the Lord is my teacher. And offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I show you. So the word son means a descendant or a young goat or a young lamb. That's what son means. And Isaac means laugh and mock. So he's saying, take, there's two parts to it, but it's like to, Take your only, so whatever's possessed you, whatever's unique and priceless to you, whatever is unique and priceless to you in your, in this earth, take that and sacrifice it. Put it on the altar as a burnt offering to God, right? And it's whatever is important to you, right? Why? Because it's going to, that's blocking your heart from God's heart. So put it on the altar, and then once you do that, you're going to make your, that, that is going to, it says that you won't have, it says that you're going to have to put it on the altar. Then it's like Abraham was saying, he didn't have to, in the end, he went to sacrifice Isaac, and then the Lord spoke and he says, Abraham, don't do that. You don't have to do it. So it was just, and then, so he, it's just about being ready to sacrifice it. I'm prepared to do it if that's what I really have to do to have your heart. That's, I'm prepared to give it all up for you if that's what I have to do to have your voice and to know you. Abraham, you don't have to sacrifice him, right? And then it says in later in the scripture that God then provided a lamb, which is the Son of God, gave him a lamb, which means he gave him the Son. And then the word there, the Lord is my teacher. So you didn't have to really sacrifice it, but you have to be prepared to. Which means you have to be really prepared to give it all up because he's really asking you to do that. And then he says, he might say, you don't have to do that, Abraham. And then he gives you the son, and then the Lord becomes your teacher, meaning you can now hear him. The Lord will teach you now. Amen? That's what it's saying. And he says, so you have to offer that. It's a burnt offering. You go to the mountain, and I'll go to the mountain. I will show you, right? Now he says, go up to the mountain. The other thing is about where Isaac, it means make sport of, play, mocking. It's talking about Jesus died for this earth to, for you to have the Father. So everything that you're clinging to is mocking God. It's mocking the cross. It's making sport of it. It's like making out as if the cross was, it's a sporting thing. It's not real. It didn't really happen. It's not really what it says it is. The cross is really not that. So you don't really believe the cross. So it's mocking. Everything that we're not prepared to let go of in order to have him, means that we're mocking God, really, because we're like, this is more important than him. And it's mocking the cross as well. So everything we cling to mocks the cross, right? And it's making the cross as if it was a sport, which the Romans, which is talking about the Romans are Catholics, saying that is, because they mock it. So they have got this whole world, and they just go on Sunday, Jesus on the cross, you know, but there's no real sacrifice. There's no, like, we still got to have our jobs and our career and our professions pretty much set up the whole world. That's why they call it the Roman world, right? So he's saying, sacrifice all of that, bring it to the altar, be prepared to sacrifice it, because it's your Isaac. It's everything you've got in this world. It's important to me, right? It's all my stuff. It's all my possessions. I don't want to give it to you. But in order to have his heart reunited to you, you've got to sacrifice it all. And if you do that, bring it all to the altar and be prepared for him to burn it up. God, take it. I don't care. Obviously, you gave it to me in the first place. You can give it to me again if you want me to have it. You might not even take it. He will replace it with the lamb, it says. He'll give you a ram for your sacrifice instead of having to sacrifice your everything. And you get the Lord's teaching through you. The Lord is my teacher. Amen. And then he says, so you go up to the mountain. Go up means thoughts, exalt, and cause to burn and ascend. So you're going to be on fire. So when you go up the mountain through the word. So you're reading the word, or you're exalting him. So that's how you ascend the mountain. You exalt him. This world's nothing. All my possessions are nothing. Take it all. Sacrifice everything. Take it all. Here it all is. And you're exalting him above it all, because you're like, I want your heart. You can have all this. And if, you know, this means nothing. Your heart, you, me hearing you, the Lord is my teacher. You teaching me through my spirit in my body, me hearing you and knowing your voice and what you want, knowing your commands, what it is you want me to do, that's more important than anything. And you're prepared to do that, right? And that's what he's saying. And then he says, you go up in your thoughts, and then you exalt him in your thoughts. All you're thinking on is him, right? Set your mind on things above, not on this earth. You're exalting him, you're exalting the cross, you're exalting who he is. It's above all of this material realm, all of this earth, everything, right? And that causes you to burn, because you're entering into the holy place, which is the presence, which is going to burn off all wickedness, which is the demons. In the evil atmosphere, spirit realm, that lie to your head and you don't know who they're doing. They're talking and they're telling you and they're tricking you and da 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 da. So when you're up in the presence, up in the holy place, you've sacrificed it all. You're up in the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, the presence burns off all the wickedness. It burns it all off you, and then you become a holy living sacrifice, a burning one for Jesus. It keeps you protected from the enemy. You don't go into addiction. You don't do any of this other stuff. Nothing happens like that, because it's demons trying to do that to you. But when you're in the presence, you're safe. You're inside of the ark, right? You are the ark. Demons don't want to come near you because it's going to burn them. They're like, get off me. Don't touch me. Woo! We hate God's presence. So they do everything they can to keep you out of God's presence. Here's a carrot. Here's a career. You know, here's some money. Here's this. You know, they try to tempt you with the things of this world. We'll give you this just to keep you settled down here for a little while. They just keep you settled. And then when you're not fulfilled, they offer you something else. Or you go through trauma and heartbreak because you have to give it up. And boo-hoo, I can't have my possessions and I've lost the love of my life or whatever. I lose it all. And it tries to tempt you. And then it gives you, then you've got to heal from all the wounding that the demons caused in the first place by getting you to attach yourself to this realm. Because then they control you. Because they can control you. Because then it's their power about when they're going to give it to you and not give it to you, because you don't have the presence. It has to come from God. You have to go after the presence first and then be a burning one. And he gives unto you. He will give you the kingdom, it says. It says that the meek inherit the earth. So you get everything in the earth anyway, but you have to sacrifice it first to go up to the mountain, get the presence to burn, and then he will give you everything, right? Everything then of yours is touched by the anointing, so the demons can't take it. God gave it to you. They can only take from you what they gave to you in the first place. And if you're not in the presence, it's being tempted and given to you by them. That's why we lose it. And it's like, oh, you're defeated and you're discouraged because you lost it. And then you hold to it for dear life because you don't want to lose it again, because it was so hard to get it back. And then like something else happens, you know. And they just keep you in this wounded state where you have to heal from all the trauma of all the loss, constant suffering and loss. And it's because you're thinking God's given it to you, but it's not them giving it to you. And they cause this pain, right? So we want the presence. Go after the presence. Put all your possessions on the altar. Ask God to make you a living sacrifice. And you'll be burning one in that king, in the presence of God. Demons won't touch you. And once you're fortified in that thing, then God will start to give you. He says first, wisdom is the fear of the Lord, right? In all you're getting, it says in Proverbs, which is the wisdom book, in all you're getting, which is like, give me, yo, we want to get, which is fine because he's given the earth. But he's like, in all you're getting, get wisdom, right? The wisdom of the Lord, which is what I'm teaching you today. In all you're getting, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding, right? So then you're up there in the presence, you've got wisdom, and then you're going to get every, once you're fortified like a strong tower in the presence, everything that comes onto the ark, you're not going to lose it, and you'll have the wisdom to keep it because you understand where it's coming from, right? You won't have, that's why he does it like that. This is most important. Above all, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So you can understand how the Lord works like this. So it's not that and then the burnt offering is O Lord, which means, burnt offering means that which goes up. So it means we ascend the mountain. We go up to the top of the mountain, okay? And then it says, the word burnt offering comes from two words, Allah and evil. So Allah means a holocaust. It's going up into the smoke, right? So we go up into the smoke, a holocaust, which means it burns off everything, all the attachments, all the familiar spirits, the lying spirits, the evil spirits, all of that wickedness and the sin. So you don't have to change your life and think, how do I stop sinning? I've got to stop this and I've got to stop that and da-da-da-da-da, which is, we call it the doo-doo voodoo of charismatic Christianity. Because it's like, how do I make myself a better person? You know, you listen to people like Joyce Meyer and stuff and it's like, you've got to do it in your own strength in how to be a better Christian. But we keep sinning, and Paul says it in Romans, I keep sinning. I sin when I don't want to sin, and then I don't want to sin when I do sin, and when I do, I don't. And he's like, what's going on? It's because you have to be in the presence. And when you're in the presence, all the sin just falls off. You don't have to do anything. The presence does it, right? Not by my might, but not by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord in Zechariah. So the spirit does it, which is the presence. So we live in the presence of God, and you don't have to battle sin or mindsets. You live in the presence, and the spirit gets all that stuff off, and then you're like, oh, my God, I can think clearer. I've got clarity. All this stuff goes well again, right? So then we've got a little bit more. It says... So then he says, I'll tell you which mountain to go to, right? Psalm, mountain means hill. And we read it in Psalm 104:6. It says, you clothed the earth with the floods of water, water that covered even the mountains. And the waters stood above the mountains. Mountains mean like we've got a mountain of education. We've got a mountain of health. There's mountains in every area. Government, political, okay, they're the mountains. And we've got the mountain of the Lord, which is above them all, right? But you have to get on top of the mountain of the Lord. Mount Zion, we call it. You have to be standing on the top of Mount Zion, and we reign over the mountains on the earth. See, Satan took Jesus up to the top of the mountain in the earth, and he says, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these mountains, which means I'll give you the earth. What they do with the Illuminati and the Freemasonry, right? And the Freemason lodges, they say, if you just do this, little signs is that, we will give you an inheritance in the earth. We won't humiliate you. We won't, you know, do this. We'll publicize you and you'll have a lot of money. So we'll give you part of the mountain, the entertainment mountain, the media mountain, which is going to be totaled and can't wait to see that totaled. I'm just going after that like, anywho. So we go on the top of the mountain. Satan took Jesus onto the top of the mountain and says, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these mountains. And he's like, no. You bow down and worship me, Satan. I'm the Lord your God, and you will worship and bow down to me. And then, so because he is the mountain. Jesus is the mountain of the Lord. And that's why he preached his sermon, which is his commandments, on the top of Mount of Olives. All right? He preached because he stood on it. And that's what it says. You clothed the earth, which is by his spirit, the anointing, with the floods of water, And it covered every mountain over the earth. So he covers all the media mountain, the education mountain, da-da-da. He purchased it all with his spirit, with his blood. And he stood above the mountain. So his spirit stands above all of those mountains. And later when you talk, when we read about it, you see when he died, he goes, I've given them all authority. He didn't say God, he didn't say to the Father, oh God, give me the glory. Well, here's the glory, Father. He said, Father, give them the glory. Give them the authority. So we just got to go in and claim it and stand in it. But the enemy wants us to it beats us down when we don't remain in the presence and on fire. We must stay in the presence. And then he says in Zechariah 14, and then he says, so the waters are the loins, right? It says the waters there means the loins, which is to stood above the mountain. So he's the creator. Loins means creator. Where the loins is where the creation happens, right? Where we're created. He's a creator. And he stood above all those mountains. It says in Zechariah 14:4, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Now this is in Zechariah. This is, I don't know how many years, 600 years before Jesus came to the earth, before we even had a New Testament. It was the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, right? And this is Zechariah, who was a righteous one, who could hear the Lord, who the Lord said, write this down, right? And it was used. And Zechariah said, in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, right, which faces Jerusalem. See, his face, it says there in another part in Peter, it says his face is towards those in Jerusalem, which is where Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, those who belong to the Lord, his face is towards you because you believe he's the Lord, he's your Lord. So he only looks upon you when he's watching over you, you know. He's not looking over the rest that don't say that he's their Lord. He only looks after his kids, those that say he's mine. His face is towards those who want him. He doesn't bother over here because they don't want him. You understand? Anyway, Zechariah says that he's standing on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain will move forward to the north and the other half will move toward the south. And so you can get a picture of north, east, southwest, right? Which is a picture of a cross, isn't it? And so he is the mountain and the four winds to cover. It says that he'll be, the gospel goes to the four ends of the earth, every corner of the earth, and the four winds. So he was stretched out like a cross. He was stretched out on the cross to show that he was going to be ripped apart. And he's going to go to the north, the south, the east, and the west. He's going to be in every corner of the earth, right? Some is going to go this way, some's going to go that way. It's all a prophecy of what was to come. And it talks about that in Matthew where he said he stood on the mountain. Everything he did fulfilled all the prophecies in the Old Testament. To say he fulfilled them, he did them. Which shows that in Isaiah says he's the coming Messiah, right? So the olive tree, olives is Zaith, and it means olive tree. Or olive tree also, you see the word olive tree in Judges, Hosea, Job. And Job says, so Job is like, you see it in Hosea. We know Hosea is the book to the backslider and the prostitute. Those who backslide, they stop believing and they go the way of the devil, and he brings you, you know, and he says that he's with the backslider. He always comes after them, chases them, leaves the 99 to go after the one lost, right? Judges, and it's like the illuminating oil. It says the olive trees, it produces illuminating oil. So this oil that illuminates the person, and it calls, or it illuminates you, and then you can see sin. See, before you couldn't see the sin, couldn't see the darkness, couldn't see the wickedness, couldn't see the evil. But this oil illuminates everything and then you can see, right? Isaiah called it the desolation of judgment, right? And it was in the word illuminating oil is Ziv, and that's in the second month of the Jewish calendar, and that is from April to May. And it means brightness of flowers, and in Job it means the cast to cast off wickedness or to cast off flowers, right? It's like Miley saying, you know, you can buy me flowers. But it talks about wicked flowers means like the wickedness, casting off the wickedness. She's like, you can buy me wickedness. Write my name in the sand, just like Jesus, you know, write his name, write the name in the sand. I can talk to myself. I don't need you. You know, the song, you just got to hear it. When you can hear, you can see. You know, so we need it to be able to discern the times. You know, Jesus says in Luke 12:55, he says, you Pharisees, he goes, the wind's coming from the south wind, and you say it's going to be a scorching hot day, which means that the fire's coming because the wind's coming, and here comes the fire of God. And you're right, you speak it and it happens and it's established, yet you can't discern the times and the seasons that we're in. That's what he's saying to the Pharisees. Like, you can't discern. That's why he says here, you've got to be more righteous than the Pharisees in order to enter into authority, right? Because they've got all the Bible, they know all the Bible, but there's no authority. Why? They've got all the Bible, but there's no authority. Why? Why does the Christian church look the same way? All the Bible, but no authority. Why? Because what's authority? We're going to see what authority means. How do you get authority? Okay? So Judges 9:8. And that doesn't mean Miley's like that. Just means there's a demon in her. Once you cast the demon out of her, then she's going to be Miley again. She'll be like, oh, hello. Oh, didn't even realize I had one. Thank God. Thanks for that. And she'll go on her way. You know what I mean? But she has. But what happens is it's like the rich ruler, the man going through the eye of the needle. It's a bit hard. They've got so much to put on the altar now. You know, you're going to put your whole mansion and your multi-million-dollar contracts on the altar, and they will humiliate you for it. You leave it. You know what I mean? That's why they do it like they just did with, what's his name, that Mandel guy from, he had to come out in a dress, you know? He had to put on lipstick, things like that. They do things like that. The Illuminati make them humiliate themselves if they want to stay in that level, and if they don't, then they humiliate them and they stay, go down the level, things like that. It's how they play. It's a game. It's mocking. That's what it is. So casting off the flowers, casting off the wickedness. So this oil is illuminating darkness. It shows you the darkness in the earth. It illuminates you, and then all the darkness that's on you, around you, in the earth, you can see now, right? And it casts it off. This oil causes it to cast off. Judges 9:8 says this. I love this bit. It says, the Judges 9:8 says, the trees once went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, reign over us. This is in Judges. Again, how many hundreds of years before Jesus came on the scene? And they're prophesying. This is Gideon. They're big drinkers. Big drinkers of the anointing, obviously, you know. But the trees is a person. Trees represent people. Hey, hope. Trees represent people in the Bible. So the people, they went out, they went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, reign over us. So they're saying that they went out with the anointing and they poured the anointing of their king over the people. And then they spoke to the anointing and they said to the anointing, reign over us. Amen. This is the Judges. At the Gideon's 300, which we are, we come out with the anointing, we pull the anointing over the city, and we talk to our anointing, and we tell our anointing to reign over them, right? Be their God. So the anointing reigns over them, and they come into believing the saving knowledge of Jesus, because he reveals himself as king. Amen? That's what we do. Matthew 5:10, then he says this. I'll go into it where he says it. Matthew, this is how we're going to get into the authority, right? It says Matthew 5:1, it says this. This is the New Testament now. Jesus has come, right? The others are talking about it. Now, Jesus saw the crowds and he went up to the mountain, right? So, you hear that? He saw the big crowd. So, there's thousands, hundreds, lots of people. Where did he go? He went up the mountain into the presence. He went into the presence and he sat down, which means he humbles himself. He says, I am the King of Israel. I am God in the flesh. You must all obey me. Jesus didn't do that. That's not how he taught, right? He sat down and went in with the people and he just started becoming, he went down and then he just starts talking to them. you know? And he starts teaching them, it says, and he sat down, and then it said, once he sat down in his authority, not trying to prove it, but he sat down in his authority, then the disciples come to him. The crowds come towards him and ask him, you know? That's what it says. Matthew 5:2, it says, and he began to teach them. And then he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So these are now God, these are Jesus' commandments. Okay, they say, well, how do we know what we're meant to do? This is the Sermon on the Mount. He stood on the mount, the Mount of Olives, right? He stood on it to show his authority, like it says in Zechariah 14, like we just read, all those scriptures. And he's standing on the Mount of Olives, which is the olive tree, which is the illuminating oil, because you crush olives and oil comes out, right? This is how he does it. You want the oil? This is how you get it. Obey my commandments. Firstly, believe that they are his commandments. You just have to agree with him. You don't have to fulfill them all. You don't have to say, you don't have to say that they're theirs or anything. All you need to do is say, all you need to say is, I agree. I agree with your words, Jesus. All right? So Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you agree? Yes, I agree. I agree that the poor in spirit should inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Yes, I agree that those who are mourning need to be comforted. That is a good commandment, Jesus. Doesn't sound hard to agree with that. Amen? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Who's the meek? Humble. Right? They're the ones that inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I read on my Facebook that righteousness is like seeking the truth. If you're a truth seeker, you want the truth. It's not that I want to be right and I try to justify everything I do to make sure I'm right. But what it is that I want the truth. Which is a good question. You know, when you're in pain, you're going down, everything, you lost everything, you lost your husband, lost everything, you got nothing going for you, you're an alcoholic and everything's going bad and you're like, holy crap, what the heck is here? Why? What's going on with my life? It's so crap. Why am I even here, God, if you're real? If you are real, what's the point in all this? You know, that's a good question to ask. Not, is Jesus God? Da-da-da. Trying to work out which God's right and all that stuff. That's not a heart thing. Heart is... why am I here? Because I want to only, like, tell me why I'm here so I know why I'm here and what's the truth? You know, what's the truth then? That's a good question. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Merciful is very forgiving. They continue to let people come back. They continue to give people mercy and forgiveness for their wrongdoing to them because the Father gives you mercy for your wrongdoing, right? You show mercy. If you want mercy from the Father, you give mercy to the people. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. Pure in heart is a burning sacrifice. For they'll see God. Still not wanting your way. I don't want my will, I want your will. Not my will, but your will. Not my life, your life. Use my body, here's my life. Do something with it. Use me as hands and feet and create, do whatever you want to do on this earth, just like Jesus did, you know? And he told me to do something yesterday, or the last couple of days, just talking to me. I don't want to do it. I don't know why I always buck. I never wanted to do ministry. I cried for like how much. I don't like to do ministry. That's not what I choose. I didn't know anything about it, you know? Anyway, he wants me to do something, so I said, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't like to do things sometimes, you know? Do you know what I mean? We don't like to do things. And then he was talking in tongues and looked up the interpretation. It says, I understand. And I was just like, it was all I needed, one word for him to say, I understand, you know? Because he understands. Because he also didn't want to go to the cross and have himself whipped and lashed and beaten and all his flesh coming off with like hooks. No, but who would want to do that? When the Lord said to him, that's what you need to do. He's like, I understand. There's some things I also did not want to do. But I wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't. So I was just like, it was enough for me just to go, Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I get it. I know you understand. Because you don't want to do it. But then he gives me this word today where I'm getting to good parts. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. That used to be my tag, peacemaker. I used to spray paint that. Peacemaker. I'm so cool. Blessed are those who are persecuted. 5:10, I like this. So Matthew 5:10, I'm nearly done. Maybe. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So blessed are the persecuted. He says persecuted is those who are chased, those who are put to flight and driven away. Those who are harassed and molested by demon spirits. For the sake of the people, which is for the sake of righteousness. So you're getting molested by their evil demon spirits because you're righteous and you've been sent to the city or to wherever he sends you. He gives you something to do. So he doesn't send you to the righteous. He sends the righteous out. He sends the righteous on mission to the people so then you can be the word of the Lord into those people's lives, which is the ark. You're carrying the ark of the presence of God for them so they can rise into the presence so they can come into righteousness and not be destroyed. Amen? That's what it is. So he says, blessed are you if you're persecuted. Persecuted means to be driven out of the city, to be chased out of the city by people, to have been put to flight and made to flee, driven away. And you see it all through the Old Testament. They all ran and they hid from the persecution because the people drive them out because the evil spirits and the people want to kill you for being the righteous person in the city because you're carrying the presence of God and it's burning those evil spirits and they don't want to be burnt. They want you out. Yeah, so they try and they don't want you giving the presence to anybody else. They don't want anybody else being built up as an ark. They want you out. Get out of my city, territorial spirits. Amen. That's what they are. And then he says, "For blessed are the persecuted." So he says, you're going to be blessed if you're persecuted. So we're going to fulfill all the commandments in Matthew 5:10. All of them that I just read and the rest of them. All of them. You're going to be blessed if you're persecuted because of righteousness, for the sake of his right to bring righteousness to the people, to be a righteous one in the city. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, theirs is the kingdom, means authority. Right? Authority of the heavens, which means authority of the atmosphere, which means when you speak, the atmosphere shifts. Evil spirits can't work in the atmosphere around the souls of the people anymore. You bind them because you've been given the authority because you went through the persecution. That's the reward. There's no like, I just want authority because I'm reading the Bible. And that's why the Pharisees had that. They had the word. They were reading the Bible, but they had no authority. And that's why he says when Jesus was walking down the street and he says to the woman who was bent over, or the lady with the issue of blood, she was bent over walking down the street. And the Lord come up to her and he goes, why is she bent like this? To the Pharisee, to the religious people, to the Christian church that have no authority. They're not walking in the power of God. Why are they still bent over? That's what he said, Jesus. He goes, why is she still bent over? Isn't this a daughter of Abraham? Isn't this woman full of faith and believes God's her God? Why is she bent over, Pharisee? Why haven't you commanded the evil spirit come off her so she can stand up? Because you're not walking in the authority, because you don't have it. Because you just got the scriptures memorized, but you haven't overcome any persecution because you don't want to be persecuted. You want to look good. You want to walk around like you've got the money and you're all together with your religious traditions and I fast and I do this and I go to church and I pray and I recite scripture and all the crap that religion does, but there's no authority to get these evil spirits in the atmosphere off the people. And Jesus he says it's an abomination. So he says the only way you're going to get authority is if you are willing to be persecuted. And then he walked it out. And he showed us what persecution looks like. He got his flesh ripped off like hooks. as a prophecy and a symbol to us not walking in the flesh. Get your flesh off you and stop worrying about what people think about you. Stop worrying about what you look like or if you're a good Christian, because that's rubbish. How many times when you get immaturity where they've never paid a price for Christ and they say to her, of that, oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. I'm thinking, hang on, let me put you on a cross for a minute. They don't even know what that looks like, you know what I'm saying? Because they've got a religious mindset that they think you have to look a particular way if you're a Christian. You know? I thought you're a Christian. You shouldn't drink, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. It's not about that, it's about obedience. Doing what the Lord told you to do. That's what's going to do it. When you're obedient, it will always bring persecution because it's going to destroy the enemy's kingdom. And that's why the other churches that aren't persecuted, there's no persecution because there's no authority. They're not a threat to Satan. Their words don't pull down the atmosphere and change the atmosphere in the heavens, which is the heaven realm, which is this realm around us that we can't see the enemy working in, right? So that's what it is. So he's like, why is she still bent over? Why are our churches full of people bent over? And I'm talking about not just talking about Hillsong and things like that. They're heavily persecuted. Look at them. They try to take them down. They get rid of the leg now. They try to take them down every left, right, and center. Every person that touches Hillsong will burn and will see and look upon the one they pierced. Amen? Thank you, God, for that. So every other church that is like, there's other churches that just get away with doing it. They just do their little religious saga, but there's no authority. It means these people are still under oppression. That's what authority is. Don't let them be under oppression. Amen? So he says, blessed are you who's persecuted because then yours is the kingdom. You inherit the kingdom, which means you are given authority in heaven, in that atmosphere. So when you say, I bind the evil plans of Satan in this atmosphere today, his plans are bound and those demons can't operate. They can't execute their little plans on the people. We need people to actually do that. Now, we've got people that do that. They pray that stuff, but nothing's getting bound, right? Because they're still not in the presence, burning where all the wickedness, there's a little bit of wickedness still going on. I care about what I look like. I care about trying to protect their image. And God's trying to burn that off us. No, stop trying to protect your image. You know, that's what he's saying. No protecting our image, not worried about that stuff. Amen. And then he says the reward. Well, he says that your reward is, which is also your reward is the authority of heaven. The reward means your recompense, your salary, dues paid, which means he will pay you. You will inherit a reward for it. And then he says this. The next part of the scripture, he says, okay, so blessed are you who's persecuted. That's good. Now you're going to get authority in heaven. So when you speak, your words are going to, it's going to happen. You haven't cared about your own looks and what's going to happen to you and what people will think. And, you know, that's all gone. And then he says, but he goes, blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you and they falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven, which means the wages of in the recompense. You'll be paid. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then Matthew 5:13 says this. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So he says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is it if the salt becomes tasteless, right? It's like when you put salt on food, it makes it taste better. It's not bland. It gives it flavor. It's like, this is nice, right? Tasty. So he says it, but tasteless means foolish, useless, a simpleton. So he says, I love how it comes straight after the persecution scripture because he's saying, blessed are you who's persecuted. You'll get authority from heaven. But don't then go and lose your salt, which means don't then go like, you know, like a pillar of salt and become nothing like Lot's wife, turn back, right? Go away and be, because your persecution will drive you out. persecution that says will chase you out of the city and it will harass you and molest you to get you out. Get out, we don't like it, ha, leave. And then it chases you out, drives you out. And he says, but don't lose your saltiness. So don't stay out there. You've just been given authority in heaven. The trick is to come back, be in your authority, because now you're going to get paid. There's going to be a reward. But if you stay away, you're going to be tasteless, which is foolish, because now you're not using the wisdom of heaven to rule and reign. You're over there, which is fool. If you don't have wisdom, you're a fool, right? Without wisdom, it's foolish, useless. When are you going to be useless driven out there when you're driven out and stay driven out? And then you're useless to God because you're not operating in your authority. Because you're only useful to God when you're a pillar in his kingdom, using your words as authority in heaven to bind the enemy so that people can come up into the presence of God and repeat, repeat, repeat. Multitudes, multiply, fruitful, continue that, right? So you've got to learn how to do it. And then he says he sits down, once you sit down in the authority on the Mount Zion, in the olives with the oil, he will send you disciples that now you're going to build them up into the ark so they can also have the presence. Amen? No good going over there and hiding and staying driven out. He can't use you over there. He's now, because they persecuted, molested and harassed you and drove you out, the reward is now he gives you authority over the kingdom of heaven, which means he gives you the authority to bind those territorial spirits. So don't leave your territory. Come back and bind those mothers that did that to you and harass and molest them, binding them up so they can't operate and set the city free. Amen. That's what the message is. What a message! Woo! All right! And then he says, obedience. I said this is obedience because it's foolish not to obey. So if you stay driven out and cut and over here chased away, harassed you out, then you can't obey God. Okay? So you must continue in obedience after persecution. Right? After, because you get authority to stand. Matthew 5:13 says, you'll be no longer good for anything. Yeah, because you'll be useless and trampled underfoot means that they're going to rule it because you haven't been persecuted in that territory where they drove you out to, right? So you don't have authority for that territory because you were driven out over there. That means they're going to rule over you in that territory. They're going to rule over you and you're going to be trampled under their foot, demon spirits, because you don't have the authority to bind in that territory. But come in your territory where you got persecuted, you've been given the authority in the kingdom realm to bind those spirits, right? So you're not under their foot, they're now under your foot. Behold, I make the enemies, your enemies, my enemies, my footstool. I'm standing on their heads, trampling the scorpions, trampling the serpents. Amen? That's what he's talking about. Woo! What a word. Holy God, such a word. And then he says this. He says, I'm too excited. I'm going to go out and stand on demons' heads. All right. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill. This is Jesus preaching. Jesus is telling the people, the crowd, you're a light on a hill. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. So you are a city on a hill, which means now you have the authority to anoint, right? You're on the top of Mount Zion, the top of the Mount of Olives. You're at the top because you've obeyed these commandments that were given on the Mount of Olives, right? You're on the top of the mountain. So you have the authority to anoint. It can't be concealed. It's not kept secret and it can't be hidden. Matthew 5:15, he says, so neither do we light a lamp and then we put it in a basket like they did Moses and send him into Egypt. No, God's going to bring you back and he's always going to use you to be the light to the people. Neither do we put a lamp and put it away in a basket. It's on a stand. It's caused to stand up and you give light to everybody, which means you give the anointing light to everybody. You're called to stand up and be the light to those people. This is the way, amen? This is the way. It's two more pages. Five. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and works. Okay? Now, let your light and your works glorify, be, show the people. So he says, let your light shine. And through that, your work, which is your deeds, your works, cause them to glorify God the Father. So your light and the works you do are going to cause the people to glorify God the Father. Right? Okay, Matthew 5:17 says this. In the same way, let your light. And then, yeah, so your good deeds, which is your works. Your works. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Don't think that I come to abolish the law. I come to fulfill it or to meet it. That's Jesus. He come to meet the law. One righteous man on the earth always saves us from destruction. He's the one man in the earth now. By the Holy Spirit, we now have that. We have a better covenant because we have the Holy Spirit to help us overcome this stuff, to help us rule and reign, to help us stay in the presence of God. We have a way into the presence of God through Jesus, and we can just ascend the mountain and have the Holy Spirit illuminate us and enlighten our eyes so we can see in the Spirit, so we can overcome the enemy, so we can see the enemy. And as we surrender and continue to sacrifice the possessions of this material earth and to stay in the presence of God, we're going to see. We're going to have good eyesight, right? Good eyesight. I decree and declare that over everybody. Matthew 5:19 says, So whoever breaks one of these commandments and teaches men, they'll be the least in the kingdom. Which means to have less, the least authority in the atmosphere. So whoever breaks his commandments, who doesn't do them, and tries to teach men, they won't have authority in the atmosphere. They can't. Their words aren't going to bind anything in the atmosphere, right? Because they're not keeping his commandments. But whoever teaches them, well, it says whoever keeps them and teaches them. Whoever keeps them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Great is more important, severe, stricter, and an elder. So they've got the authority in the heaven. So they keep the commandments and they teach the commandments. So you keep the commandments by fulfilling this Sermon on the Mount, right? Going through the things that he's told you you're going to go through and standing. That's how you're fulfilling them. So it's by obedient, being obedient to what he tells us to do. It's doing works for the kingdom, being a light. And then when the people come, the disciples come, we're a light for them. We keep the commandments and we teach them the commandments. We teach them and show them how to live the God way, the way of the Lord. And our anointing covers them. Now we have an anointing to cover them. So on the top of the mountain, the anointing's pouring out, okay? So we agree with these commandments as right and true, and then we obey them. We agree that they're correct. That's how you come into agreement. I agree this word is right. I agree the Matthew 5 is correct. It is true, right? And then we enter the light. We enter into the light because we're agreeing with the commandments, which means we agree, so we're going up. And now we obey them. We're entering into the light, which is the presence, the Ark of the Covenant. And then we become the light once we've entered into it and we stay there. We've got to remain there. We become a burning sacrifice, right? Like Isaac. So Isaac is everything that makes us happy in the earth. Sacrifice it to ascend up to the mountain because it all mocks God. It all mocks the Lord, right? And what he died for. He died so we don't inherit this earth, but we inherit him. And then he gives us the earth once we're up in the presence. And this earth, to have him, to realize that he's the fullness of the joy, right? So when we come into the presence, we're happy again. Our joy is restored. It says into the joy. And Judges, like I said, Judges 9:8, I already talked about that. So it's authority of the atmosphere. The people go, and we've got authority of the atmosphere by anointing the people. Jesus understands obedience. Oh, yeah, that's why I already talked about that. So Jesus understands obedience. Because God asks, by what God asks us to do, and we don't always want to do it. And that's that dying. So when God's asking us to do something, we don't really want to do it. We don't really want to give things up. We don't really want to kind of do this or that. And he's asking us to do it because it's not for us. He didn't die on the cross for himself. He died so that we could have the anointing, we could have the presence of God, so we could be free from wickedness and evil spirits, so we could stand in authority and help other people be free from that in the earth, and we could have a clean earth, you know, new heavens and the new earth. So that when he calls us to do something, he's doing it, he's asking us to do it to be a righteous one, to be a dependable one, somebody who's going to stand for the people, someone that's going to build the ark in themselves by dependence on the Holy Spirit, sacrificing their positions of this earth so they can become an ark, and so people can come on the ark and get saved and then come up into the presence themselves. And also some will become arks, some will become trees and heal the nations. Amen? That's how it is. So he's asking us, will we do that? He's giving us a calling. He's giving us something to do. He's giving us an assignment, and he's asking us to be faithful in that. Right, Noah, he was building and building and building the ark, and nail, no rain came. It didn't look like he needed an ark. What are you going to need an ark for? There's no water. He's like, for years, and then all of a sudden it come and it flooded the whole thing, and if he didn't have it, everyone would have died. Right? So we don't understand always why he's asking us to do something, but there's a purpose behind it, and he doesn't need to give us all this information as to why. He just wants us to, like Abraham, unquestionably say, okay, I'll do it. Don't question and go and try to use reason and logic to say, why would I want to put my first son Isaac on an altar to kill him, you know, and try to work it all out. He just says, believe God and then unquestionably do it. And as you do that, you're going to enter into the promise. You're going to enter into obedience, and that's what's going to cause you to be righteous, because now you're obedient and you're useful. You're not foolish anymore. When you're not obedient and you don't do what he's asked you to do, and you're not wanting to be a righteous person who's sacrificing their life to be a temple that's pouring out the anointing for him to send disciples to get free, if you don't want to be that type of a person, then he says, lukewarm, spit you out of my mouth, useless over there, folly, simpleton, not useful to the Lord at all. So he just looks, his eyes are just looking for people that are willing to be used like that. Right? Because God needs them for people to be saved. So the people, so God rules over them and then they are destroyed. Amen? Amen. So that's what obedience will give you. Give you the obedience to do the small thing, which is the small thing is like, he'll tell you, he'll set it up. You might not know it. You might hear it, you'll be in a ministry. You'll be under a ministry, wherever you go, in your churches, in your ministries. And your leaders ask you to do something. Do what they say to do, because the Lord's going to speak through them and give them the instruction for you, so you can be blessed. That's the whole point of it. So do what they do. If they've got you in the toilets cleaning, do that. If they've got you serving on the usher line, do that. If they've got you serving in the kids ministry, do that. Wherever he's got you doing something, he wants to see you faithful in that small thing. Faithful means true and honest. And doing the right thing, because it's for the people. And it builds you, it's building your ark. It's building your humility. It's building your truth, your righteousness. And what that's doing, it's saying, I can be trusted by God for his presence to rest on me. You've got to start somewhere. You're not going to be commanding the heavens when you can't command your own home. Know what I mean? When you can't command, like, you can't even get, like, the toilet clean in your one job you got, you know? I give them one job and they don't even do that right. Like, you do one job and you put your effort in there and you're faithful in it. Like, I want this to come to fruition. Like, I'm, you know, it says in all you're doing, like, do everything unto the Lord, right? Yeah, that's what it says in Scripture. Everything I do it unto the Lord. So doing it with the mindset, this is for the Lord. This is for the Lord's kingdom. This is for... I'm doing this because the Lord has got me here, and I'm just showing that I'm faithful and I can be trusted. I can be trusted. That's what it's about. Can he trust you with his kingdom? Can he trust you with his kingdom to rule and reign his kingdom? Can he trust you with the riches of his kingdom? Can he trust you to heal the woman still bent over? Or are you going to keep her bent over with your words? Or are you going to free her with your words, right? Are you going to do what he asked you to do? Are you going to just go out on the street and start when he says go and do this and go do that and do this and do that? Things he will ask you to do is to prove that you can be trusted. And he tests the faith. As we go along, he tests the faith. He's watching to see where you still need development, what you can and can't be trusted in, where you need development to build you, so you become more trustworthy, more responsible, more capable, more willing, right? It's a big sacrifice to serving the kingdom because you have to, you don't, you're saying no to yourself, you're denying yourself and you're picking up your cross and you're doing things that needs to be done. And they're not always pleasant things. And he teaches us in those. Like some things are, you want to be, even when we're operating in the gifts and you want to be in the anointing, you want to be praying for people, you want them healed, you want to preach the word and you want to see people set free, delivered and stuff like that. And instead he's got you in there working out a budget in how to, you know, in how to make sure you and fundraise and do a barbecue so you've got enough money to pay rent or something. You know what I mean? But you've got this gift of the anointing that can heal people and it can deliver them and set demons free, but he's got you over here first doing this because he develops you in your weakness. Wherever you're weak is where he puts you so you can learn to, so he can develop you and get you strong in that area. Because if you remain weak in an area, you're a target for Satan and his demons. And he'll just come in and destroy anything God gives you to build. So God's got to teach you how to operate in your weaknesses. And he builds you up in strength. So he strengthens your weaknesses. He's your high tower. So you've got to learn where you're at. And he's always using that stuff. Amen? So be obedient and that's what's going to give you righteousness. If you're going to be persecuted, if you're going to be this, you're going to be that. You're doing what the Sermon on the Mount says. And that's going to give you the authority. Because once you go through it, the reward is yours is the kingdom of heaven, which means you can then operate the atmosphere of the city and command a thing and it will be established. Amen? Command a thing and it will be established. In Jesus' name, woo! God bless you guys.